So, you know, we first of all, to welcome everybody for the first year of the Newsman, I guess we call it. We call it the Newsman. Sounds good, right? And to welcome all the familiar faces, and not everybody who was here in this year before, but we had some, you know, visitors, and, or, you know, not guests, but, you know, but it's always, you know, exciting to begin the new year, and, you know, it's a pleasure to greet all of you. And again, this year's Limud is going to focus on Masechet Chulin, which is a very, very rich topic. We'll be doing, you know, topics relating to Shechita, but, you know, as these things generally do, you know, they involve a lot of other, they interface with a lot of other topics and issues, and especially some of the beginning topics, you know, relate to broader issues, Rov and Chazaka, obviously. So before we, you know, actually begin with the Masechta proper, you know, there's like, I guess, a long-standing tradition, you know, that we try to do an introductory topic, you know, to kind of, you know, create a context and a framework with within which to better understand the Limud itself. Oh, wow. That's the banquet table. Okay. So, you know, okay, so we're in the spirit of that, we're going to begin, and I want to thank Zev in absentia for the work he does, you know, for the Shir and the Mar Makomos and everything else, and also Rabbi Hai Arbisfeld, who's no longer coming on a regular basis, but still is very much Ruach HaKayim behind the Shir, and everybody else who comes and contributes. You know, I think it's a special group. And, okay, it's exciting to begin the Nuzma. So the topic of Chulin, of course, in the beginning, the first parak, first two prakim, revolves around the din of Shechita, the mitzvah of Shechita, the details of Shechita. One could look at that, you know, in a very technical way, you know, a very core part of being a practicing Jew, an observant Jew, is you know, observing the laws of kashrus, and therefore avoiding, you know, nevela and treifa, you know, is obviously part of that charge. And from that point of view, the laws of shechita are necessary knowledge, right, in order to eat, you know, in a proper way, in a way that is consistent with being an oved Hashem. Back in the olden days, this was particularly true because people often did their own shechita, right? You know, if you were hungry, you know, you sent out the shochet, or if he was a member of your household, and, you know, the next thing you know, you were eating chicken or meat, or as the case may be. It doesn't exactly work that way anymore. So knowledge of, you know, the details of shechita and treifa and so on and so forth are less, you know, a prerequisite, you know, for observant Jews, you know, being able to keep kashrus. At the same time, like all areas of halacha, understanding the details isn't just about properly implementing and observing. It's also about the concepts and the principles. And while that is always true, I believe that that is particularly true about Shechita. Shechita seems to play an outsized role in the concept. This is really what I'm going to try to suggest in this Akdama, and we'll, you know, refer back to it, in terms of the concept of Kiddushas Yisrael. The very fact that we, when we eat meat, that we do so against the background of the mitzvah of Shechita is possibly very philosophically significant. And that's one of the things that I'm going to try to explain here. In order to understand and appreciate the role of Shechita, so we need to go back to the, you know, to the very beginning, literally, you know, into the history of the world, right? It sounds very grandiose, but I'm actually serious about it, right? from the very, very beginning to discuss what was the ideal diet of man, what was off limits for man. And of course, you know, most of us know the transition that likely took place, you know, from the time of Bereishis, that was the first epoch or the first, you know, period of time, and the change that took place after the Mabul, when Noah refashioned, or Noah was there at the time of the refashioning of the world. How do we understand that transition? And is that transition relevant to what it is that, you know, we do today in terms of Achilas Basar, etc.? Is it preferable to be a vegetarian? Are there special challenges, you know, being a carnivorous eater? All these questions go back, you know, to the very beginning, and in my opinion, some of them, at least according to some views, are very relevant to understanding the nature and the importance of Shechita as an institution. Okay, so let me explain what I mean. So as we know, there are different diets that are presented in the Torah in the very beginning in Bereishis. And according to most views, we'll see soon that maybe not all views, it seems as if man initially was forbidden to eat basar. You know, he was not carnivorous. And only later, after the Mabul, was the heter given for achilas basar. That comes out of the psukim that we have printed here on the page. We're going to look at them first, and then, you know, discuss what that might be about, and then more specifically, you know, how it's connected to us. So the Torah says in the very beginning of Bereishis, right, talking about Adam, again, you know, what it is that he's allowed and forbidden to eat. Torah says, "Vayvarach Hashem Elokim, Vayomer Lahem Elokim, Pru Urvu Milu Es Aretz VeKivshuha." Right, Urdu B'Dgas Hayam U'Ba'Of Hashemayim U'B'Kol Chaya Harameses Al Haaretz. The question of diet is not necessarily an isolated question. There may be a bigger issue, and that is simply what was the relationship from the outset between man, between humans, and the animal kingdom, right? What level of exploitation or subservience, you know, or preservation or conservation or maybe dignity and respect, you know, was to be accorded, you know, to the animal world? Very unclear, and there are different views in the Mefarshim in terms of how they formulate things and how they understand the connection between that and the norms of its time, I mean, what was permitted and what wasn't permitted. So it's fascinating that already in the first pasuk that we read here, in pasuk Chaf Ches, it's clear, pretty clear, that man is the center of creation. I mean, it's clear anyways, if you read the Torah and Parshat and Bereishis, it's clear that, you know, there were various levels of creation, and it's also clear that the culmination of all of that and the telos, the purpose of all of that, was man. So it's already clear that, you know, b'kivshua and urdu b'dgas hayam u'ba'of hashamayim u'b'kol chaya harmesis ala aretz establishes that man is the apex of creation, that we have an anthropocentric view of the world. Again, we live in a world where not everybody, you know, we have these animal rights activists and others who, some of whom are just very, you know, humane or, you know, about, you know, the need to treat animals respectfully and or conservationist oriented in terms of what that implies. That's one level. The second level, but you also have, you know, we have extreme people, you know, projecting all sorts of things, you know, in our time, probably in other times as well, including people who will argue with you when you tell them that there's an anthropocentric basis for existence, meaning that man is the central focus. And has you know, prerogatives beyond the, you know, that of the animal kingdom. One doesn't need to be cruel to animals or to dismiss or disregard even animal rights to come to the conclusion that man is the focal point of divine creation. And that certainly is the Jewish view. As we'll see soon, the Gemara In Sanhedrin, actually, just look at it very quickly, on Nun Tesvid Beis, even as it, here, it's on page three, even as the Gemara tells us that, one second, if I can find it, I'm sorry, Did I take out that line? One second. Sorry, I took out that line. Even as the Torah tells us that the even as the Gemara tells us that Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat basar, so the continuation of the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, well, how do you read the psukim? Right, the kivshua, etc. So the Gemara says that's l'malacha, but not l'achila. Okay. So again, this is an acknowledgement, just based on the psukim itself, that no matter what you say about the diet question, which may or not be related to, you know, this question of the gap or the relationship between man and animal, that at minimum, when it comes to malacha, right, that man is again the focal point and has special prerogatives in the creation. So that's pasuk chavches. Then comes pasuk chavches, which is vayomer Elokim. Again, we'll get back to the Gemara later, but I forgot to add those lines. Vayomer Elokim, hinei nasati lachem es kol esav zera, zera asher al pnei kol haaretz ve'es kol haetz asher bo pri. Right, zorea zera lachem yie laachla. L'kol chayas ha'aretz, l'kol of ha'shamayim, l'chor ha'meis al ha'aretz, ha'shebo nefesh chaya, es kol yerek esev le'achla, v'ayihiche. So these psukim don't say explicitly that man is prohibited from eating meat. Right? What they do say is that his diet should consist of vegetables, seed, right, trees, and fruit. Right? Doesn't explicitly say, and not basar, right? But by implication, it sounds like basar, you know, is not part of that diet. Okay. On the other hand, if you look at Parsha of Noach, look at that for a second, that's Bereshis Perek Tes, down here on starting from number 33, there are several interesting things. Number one, there seem to be some gratuitous information that is redundant, because we already know it from Bereshis, and yet the Torah repeats it in the context of Noach. That already is interesting. Things like Piri Varivia, as we'll see in a moment, and Tselem Elokim, which we read about in the beginning of Bereshis. For some reason the Torah seems to repeat it in Noach. Moreover, the clear implication that, you know, you can't you can't murder your fellow human being, right? That also is reformulated much more explicitly in the Noach context. The question is, why do you need all of that if we know all of this from Bereshis? Okay. In addition to that, the more explicit difference between the Parshios is that here you have an explicit heter of basar, and the Torah compares achilas basar to achilas yerek. So just go through psukim quickly, starting from line 33. Vayivarech Elokim es Noach es banav, vayomer lahem pru urvu milo es haaretz. Okay, but we already read about pru urvu, to Adam, right? In pasuk perek aleph pasuk chavches, pru urvu milo es haaretz. There it says v'kivshua. Then we're told u'morachem v'chitchem yeh al kol chayas haaretz. Now call of Hashemayim b'chol asher tirmo sa'adama u'b'chol d'gei hayam b'yedchem nitan. Two things. Number one, that the animal kingdom will understand, you know, they will themselves intuit, you know, they will, in other words, know to fear man. We don't have such a pasuk previously. We do have a pasuk that man, right, can harness, you know, the animal's workforce, that he can, that he is above them, that the focus is on him. But umorachem v'chitchem, you know, the question of fear, right, that comes, that surfaces for the first time here in Parshas Noach. And then in the end of the pasuk, as we read, right, that biyedchem nitanu, that it's there given to you. Now again, that's implied already in Bereishis, but this is a more explicit formulation. Then we're told, kol remes asher hu chai lachem yeh la'achla. This is the main chiddush, right? Ki yerek esav nasati lachem es kol. So yerek esav is a reference to what we read in Bereishis. And now we're being told that equated to that is also carnivorous diet. I mean, you're allowed to eat meat, kol remes asher hu chai lachem, right? Lachem yeh rather la'achla, ki yerek esav nasati lachem. Here it's es kol, no longer limits. Then we're told in the next pasuk, ach, however, basar benafsho damo lo tochelu. However, there's an iser of eiver minachai, or maybe also dam minachai, according to Rashi, at minimum eiver minachai. So this is explicitly mentioned only in the context here in Noach. After the heter basar, you have the iser of eiver minachai. We will soon see that in the first Gemara, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Vav Med Beis, the assumption is that Eiver Menachai was already told to Adam Arisha, and that it comes under the rubric of Achol Yochel, or Achol Tochel, you know, which he was told in Gan Eden. But that isn't explicit, this is explicit. And again, so either the question is, if Adam Arisha was already given the Isra of Eiver Menachai, why the need to repeat it here? You know, the obvious answer seems to be, well, there's a Heter Basar, you know, so shouldn't there also be a Heter Eiver Menachai? That's what the Gemara says, but the implication of that we need to flesh out better. If not, if you don't accept that Gemara for some reason, we'll see why one would not accept it, maybe, then that's a Kiddush. Then Eiver Menachai was introduced with Noach, not with Adam. That seems to be the view of the Rambam, and it stirred a lot of controversy. I mean, the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, seems to say, we'll discuss this more fully in a couple of minutes, that Adam HaRishon was given six mitzvahs, and the seventh of the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, Eiver Menachai, was given to Noach. Okay, that seems to be against one Gemara, but according, if that view is true, and the Medrash says this, as the Ran points out, we'll see it sooner inside, that this comes from the Medrash as well. So then, Ach Basar B'Nafsho Damolo Tochelu, isn't just the first explicit reference to Eiver Menachai, but it is also the initiation of this, the seventh and final of the list of Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Okay, anyways, then the Torah, fascinating, continues and focuses on A, the obligation of human beings to make sure, right, that they do not murder each other, or they don't take their own life, that they don't draw blood from each other, as well as kind of a warning to the animal kingdom, you know, not to attack human beings. That's the aches dimchem nafshosechem edrosh miad kol chayad rishayim u'miad adam miad ish achiv edrosh es nefesh ha'adam. There are different ways of understanding what this pasuk means. It's also very well known that achas dimcha l'nafsho seichem edrosh is a prohibition against suicide. Or you're not allowed to take your own life. So you're not allowed to take your own life, you're not allowed to take the life of a fellow human being. Animals, it seems, right, to edrosh miyad kol chaya, are not allowed to take the life of a human being. Shofech, next pasuk, shofech dam ha'adam, ba'adam damo yishofech, ki betzelem elokim asa es ha'adam. Now again, Selam Elokim Asa Asa Adam, or, you know, Bala Bara Betzalmo, you know, is something that we read already in Bereishis. So it's again cured, just like Pru Rabu is, you know, is reiterated, right? And just as possibly Eiver Menachai is reiterated, and the prohibition against the murder and so on, so too, Betzalmo Elokim Asa Asa Adam is repeated here. And then, for good measure, a second repetition of Pru Urvu, Vatem Pru Urvu, Shirtsu, Ba'aretz, Urvu, Ba. So it's just even if we weren't, you know, discussing the topic of, you know, meat eating and, you know, and shechita, you know, just these two parshios themselves, you know, require a lot of attention and a lot of reflection. I mean, what really happened, you know, how much changed and how much remained the same, you know, from the two kind of creations, right? The original creation of Bereishis and the reformulation, you know, in the time of the Mabel. The truth is, on the repetition slash discrepancies, are two perspectives that one could take. You could argue that the need for, that indeed there are things that are reiterated, that are repeated. Why do you need to repeat them? So that is a very curious, you know, issue, and that is that we're talking about a new world, right? So how different was Noach's, was the post-Mabel world from the Bereishis world? That's a very interesting question. Right? And the very fact that there, you know, was such a cataclysm, that it was a result of, you know, a complete erosion of the, you know, morality of the world, world order, whatever you want to call it, you know, and, you know, such a radical upheaval, you know, physically the Mabel, the destruction of all mankind with the exception of Noach, etc., and due to, you know, corruption, etc., and then, you know, you have some changes that take place in the aftermath, including the consumption of meat, which becomes a very strong focal point because it's one of the most explicit things that changes. So we have to figure out, is that kind of trivial? Is it, you know, does it, you know, really represent or reflect, you know, the bigger changes itself? So the question then becomes, you know, how much continuity and how much change? And do you need to repeat things because it's a chiddush, or maybe it's no longer a chiddush, but it establishes that it isn't a chiddush, you know, that there is continuity despite the differences? Or maybe if you look very carefully, some of the reiteration is actually a reformulation. Maybe the way Tzelem Elokim and Piri Verivya and, you know, Avraham Menachai and the prohibition against the murder, maybe the way that they're formulated is a little bit different than it was in the time of Bereishis. We're not going to do all this now because that requires a lot of time and attention, which we don't have. But I do want to speak about it in terms of the diet question. But I'm raising the question, really, how much continuity, how much change, how much is the continuity, you know, even really continuity, and how much is the change? You know, maybe really continuity is the bigger story, and the changes are small. Maybe continuity, right, is misleading, and the changes are huge, or maybe there are different dimensions. In some aspects there was continuity, and in some aspects there was change. All of this are questions that are very important to reflect on just when you're reading the Pshat in the beginning of Bereishis and Noach. But for us, obviously they resonate in a much more meaningful way because we want to try to figure out, you know, more specifically the history of human diet or halachically permissible diet and what that implies. Yeah.
Eva Minachai does not imply just an amputation of a limb from an animal for the purpose of eating Eva Minachai.
Right.
So if our vision couldn't eat basar, what do we need a Eva Minachai?
Excellent. Our collusion begins, you know, on the very first year. Right?
Okay.
And you brought a Rambam too?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, which one does it bring?
I don't know where the answer is.
Oh, okay. So we'll, but which one did you probably brought Kedusha?
Yeah, Kedusha,
yeah. Yeah. You didn't bring Hilchos Melachim, did you? Okay. So your question, the question that you're asking is the question that we're going to turn to in just a couple of minutes after first I wanted to read the Psukim, raise some questions about these two periods in history. And then also just speak for another couple of minutes about that, you know, about how different ways to look at, I guess, the, you know, the change in destiny of man, you know, the change in the stature of man, and to speculate what that did about the relationship he had with animals. We'll speak about that for another couple of minutes. And then I want to exactly address this question. The question that you're asking is a question that the Polytosis asks. very, very explicitly, and it's implicit in the treatment of some of the other Rishonim as well. Namely, the question that he asked, just to make it clear, was assuming that Avraham and Achai was already addressed to Adam HaRishon, how does that fit with there being an Iser of Achilas Basar? Correct? In a minute, we're going to discuss Tosis's answer to that question, the Avramah's answer to that question, the Chiddush Aran's answer to that question, and the Rambam's perspective on this topic. That's what I want to get to. Before we get to that, just a few more points on what we have been discussing. How much continuity and how much change from the Bereishis story till the post Mabul, changes. So this remains an open question. It's a discussion in all the Mefarshim. Just to put it in slightly different terms, in terms of Achilas Basar, do we look at the post Mabul epoch as kind of a compromise? And a reflection that man's, kind of potential or his aspirations, have been vitiated or mitigated. In other words, we're less, confident, in man's ability to spiritually distinguish himself. Right? That's one perspective on post-Noach. For example, right in the psukim that precede these, in Noach, Perek Tes, the Torah says that, Noach brought a korban, the Ribono Shelom Yorach, he accepted the korban, and it also said that, came to the conclusion that, man, is an inherently challenged, or problematic, being, rak ra, minu'urav. And consequently, the Ribono Shelom says, "I'm never going to bring this kind of a, calamity or catastrophe to the world, again." But it's an indictment of man's, in a way, of man's potential. So one could say, well, now that the Ribono Shelom has, not that he didn't know it before, and I'm not dealing with that question, but now that man has proven himself, to be inherently flawed, and kulas, if you will, are going to prevail as a result of it. Like, Baruch Shalom is, kind of reconfiguring, his level of tolerance and so on and so forth. So you could see Achilas Basar, as part of that. As initially, man was a purely spiritual kind of a creature, therefore he didn't eat meat, didn't have to eat meat. That level, I guess, of physicality, in general, there's sources in Chazal that tell us, that including the Gemara later on in Chulin, and quoted by the Mefarshim in Parshas Re'eh, that ki yirchak mimcha or ki yarchiv, gavulcha, that the Gemara speaks about eating basar as a taiva. We even call it basar taiva. What's the status of basar taiva in the midbar? All things which we're going to discuss. What was the where's the heter for basar taiva? But the connotation itself, basar taiva, is that this is a kind of a concession to man's inability to attain a higher level. It's a concession to his physical bestial side. So the Ribono Shel Olam basically says, this is who man is, and therefore, I'm going to change my approach in terms of his punishment. Moreover, that's one way to look at it. There's a heter achilas basar. He's not a purely spiritual being anymore. Or what I envisioned in Gan Eden, or even after Gan Eden, on different level, I'm no longer, clinging to that. It's better to harness man's, physicality, l'shem spirituality, if you will, than to try to deny, that side of his personality. So that would constitute a lowering or a derogation. So, for example, the Kliyakar in Parshas Re'eh, for example, it says, when the Torah says ki yirchak mimcha makom, when you're far away from the mikdash, so he understands it homiletically, as well. Meaning, the reason that you have a taiva for basar is because you're living, you're physically and also you're spiritually, far from the mikdash. Otherwise, you'd only be interested in shlamim, okay, which is also basar, but it's karbanos, or maybe it wouldn't be certain basar at all. So there's a lot of expressions of this idea. Ramban basically tried to explain, we have it here, I believe, why it is that the Torah needs to speak about rotzeach, right, in the aftermath of... do I have it here somewhere? Probably is on page 2. Yeah. Look on page 2 for a minute. This part for a moment. On line 7, even though his view of Achilas Basar is not connected to this per se, we'll get that in a minute. So Zetam is Kiru, line 7 on page 2. Zetam is Kiru Isar Shvichus Dam in Bekan. If they heter Ashkita, we'll get back to what that means. She Minaglish Bochadam. Keldas Rabosenu Kvar Hizr Adam Rishon Bazet. Avam Bnei Ashkita Hutzach Lomar. Hitarti lachem lishpoch dam kolchai zulasi dimchem shia asur lachem ulkolachayim shloihem teva lishpoch also. So again, he doesn't explain that this is the meat connection, because Ramban has a different view, which we'll discuss in just a minute. But he does say that once there's a heter of achilas basar and shchita, right, that imply or that can deteriorate or erode, you know, the spirituality of man, and therefore it's necessary to reiterate, you know, his Tzelem Elokim, you know, the Iser to spill, you know, fellow's blood, right? And Chazal, again, are very big about this idea that, you know, people's passions are kind of stirred, you know, in all sorts of interesting ways. Yeah.
But Chazal embrace it into the exclusion of anything else. I mean, in terms of...
What do you mean? Yeah, okay. That's in the context of the Davar Shebe Kedusha and Karbanos, for sure. Right. I'm talking about the Basar Taiva, you know, at the moment. But the Ramban's saying this in general, even Shechitas Karbanos, he's not saying it's wrong. He's just saying, you know, that it carries with it a certain danger. I'm just trying to show, you know, that some people think it's even more than that. It's a concession, you know, to man. It's still true that ein simcha l'mebasar or basar yayin, you know, so on the contrary, like the things that if you overindulge or that, you know, if you indulge without the framework of Kedusha, reflect the, you know, the animal aspect of man, or also the things, you know, that highlight his ability, you know, to rise above that.
Where do we learn that that's the cornerstone of simcha?
Sorry?
Where do we learn that that's the cornerstone?
No, from the context of Karbanos. In the context of Karbanos.
But the exclusion of anything else?
Not anything else, but that's, you know, that's a way of, again, it's part of the lachem of a Yom Tov, and, you know, of Simcha, that it's talking specifically about, you know, about Yom Tov, in which you bring Karbanos, and which being in the Beis HaMikdash and partaking of the avoda and the karbanos, the achila part of the karbanos, is part of the kiyum of Yom Tov, part of kiyum Hashem. So I'm not talking about the final result yet. We'll talk about kashrut, but that's one. The other way to look at things is exactly the opposite way, right? And that is that, for example, the Sisei Chachamim says in Parshas Noach that originally, you know, man was not allowed to eat basar. Because when it comes to at least killing the animal or animal as food, those are two different things also. Like man, this is a very strong formulation, man and animal were equal. Okay, it's hard to say that, you know, given that Linya Malacha, that certainly wasn't the case, but maybe Legabe, Shvichos Damim, and Achila, that was the case. That's what Sisei Chachamim at least says. He says, but in the time of Noach, that changed, and man's elevated status vis-a-vis animals became more evident, and therefore the idea of killing, you know, an animal for food and eating it, you know, became more acceptable. Again, the same Kliyakar, although it's a little bit of a different orientation, says that Noach was more spiritually advanced than Adam, and therefore, you know, his, you know, degree of separation from the animal world was greater, and therefore it was appropriate for him to eat meat, but not Adam. Okay? So I'm just trying to show there are almost opposite ways of looking, both at the heter basar, is that a sign of man's progress or a sign of man's deterioration, or his lowered expectations, right? As well as, you know, how we look at these, you know, two chapters. you know, the chapter of Bereshis and the chapter of Noach. The Ramban himself has a bit of a different view about the Achilas Basar part anyway. The Ramban says that you know, what changed was not, you know, he doesn't say that what was not part, I'm saying it was not part. It was not the relationship between man and animal objectively in terms of man's level, but what did change was the internal relationship between man and animal in terms of survival. So the Ramban says, he says this three times at least, in Bereshis and Noach, and again in Achrei Mos, that since basically the animal kingdom deserved to be destroyed in the time of the Mabul as well, because our Mesorah is that the animals also behaved, you know, in an improper way. And consequently, says the Rabbi, I'll show you, I'll read it inside in just a second, you know, the survival of animal, of the animal world, was due to Adam, was due to Noach. And the Mesiris Nefesh, again, he was told to do it, but it was still his Mesiris Nefesh. And that is what differentiated, or that's what created a greater gap between animal and man. Ramban says, till then, animals were treated as not the equivalent to man. That he never says. And then again, in Achrei Mos, it's clear that he doesn't think that that was ever the case. But animals are superior to domeim and to tzomeach. Right? They're superior to stones, and they're superior to vegetation. Because they have, as the Ramban says, some sort of instinct for survival, some sort of decision-making mechanism in a limited way. Unlike man, is what he says in Achrei Mos, who contemplates the Bore and his own purpose, you know, that animals don't do that. They're not that self-reflective or reflective, you know, about important issues. But they do make decisions, and therefore that mala, behemoth, put them, you know, off the menu, you know, at minimum. However, you know, in the aftermath of the Mabul, the Hakaras HaTov to Noach, he says three things really. Hakaras HaTov to Noach, A. B, we now look at animals and their survival not on an individual level, but as species. Because basically what Noach was trying to do was preserve intact, right? Well, Noach was the first president of the, you know, the conservation, society, right? So, but the focus then became not on individual animals. This is how I read Ramban. I'll just read it inside in a second, but on species of animals. And that's a different, you know, way of looking. When you look at each individual, you know, when you look at Daisy the lamb and Bessie, you know, the cow. Like, how can you eat Bessie, you know, or Daisy or Dolly, I should say, right? But you know, there's no Dolly and there's no, you know, Daisy and there's no Bessie. It's just, you know, a representative of the bovine, preservation group. You know, it saved the whales, but it's not Moby Dick and it's not Shamu. Was Shamu a whale? Yeah. What? Well, Shamu was murdered somebody though, right? I mean, or like the Paro Shamu. No idea, right? Or Willie? Is it Willie? Willie the whale? Okay. Anyway, so that's the point. The third thing that the Ramban mentions in Parshas Achrei Mos is that once Noach brought korbanos from the animals, that kind of changed, you know, that established, you know, them as a base, like a davar shebekedusha basis for eating them as well. Okay. So let me show you this just in the Ramban. So according to the Ramban, it's not so much that pre-Mabul, post-Mabul, or Bereshis and Mabul, man was on a higher level, lower level, and therefore that differentiated him from animals or gave him more prerogatives, etc., etc., or made meat more of a problem or less of a problem. It's the internal relationship between man and animal itself. Okay, where does Ramban say this? If you look here, I should just add, I mentioned that the Ramban, even though he talks about the mala of the animals, which he does, we'll see in a minute, but he never, ever implies that they're equal to man. That's explicit in Achrei Mos, but it's also implicit here. Part of that is reflected by the fact that he also disagrees with Rashi on another point. What was the original diet of animals? Ha. So if you look at Rashi and Bereishis, the Ramban quotes it in the beginning here, on the line 12, Hinei nasati lachem eskal esav zarei hazer. If you look at the psukim, Ramban is a diuk in the psukim that Rashi ignores, and that is Vayomer lokim Hinei nasati lachem eskal esav zarei hazer shal pnei kol haaretz es kol esa sherbo pri eitz right zarei hazer lachem yela achla. And then it says lekol chayas haaretz lekol of hashemayim lekol remes al haaretz asherbo noach shevashka es kol yerek esav laachla vayihichem. So really what it says is that man was permitted to eat vegetables, seed, right, and fruit and fruit trees. And then when it comes to animal, it said that they were permitted to eat vegetables. It doesn't say anything about the seed or the fruit. Rashi doesn't think of that as correct. He just thinks that's the shorthand way of the Torah saying, you know, your diet is their diet. So that's, if you look, Hinei nasati lachem eskal esav zarei hazera, lo hirsha la'adam ul'ishta laham esbiri av alecha basar, we'll get to that. Ach kol yerek esav yochlu yachtav kulam. Ah, but all vegetables and seed, or grass, they eat together. What, together? What does that mean? Like communal meals? Like, you know, ukeshebo b'nei noach, yitalem basar. Shanem, this is quote of Rashi. Shenema kol remes asheruchai, kol remes asheruchai lachem yela achla, ki yerek esav nasati lachem es kol. Ki yerek esav shitarti la'adam arishon, hitarti lachem es kol, loshon Rashi. V'chem pirush harab in Masechet Sanhedrin, says the Ramban, ulekol chayas haaretz lachem ulechayos, nasati ha'asavim, et ha'ilanot, et kol yerek esav l'achla, whatever I permitted you originally was permitted also to the animal world. The im kachia perush as kol yerek esav la'achla, v'as kol yerek esav. That's the pshat. Ramban now comments line 17 and says ve'eino chein. It's not true. Aval nasan la'adam alishto kol esav zorei zera v'chol priets ulchayis haaretz ulof hashamayim nasan kol yerek esav lo pri haetz v'lo azroim ve'in macholam yachad kulam b'shave. So it's important to know that according to Rashi, the original diet of humans and animals was the same. Not only was man not permitted to eat animal, animal was permitted wherever man was permitted. And the Ramban thinks that from the very beginning of creation, a distinction was made, a hierarchy, even in diet, never mind in malacha, like the Gemara says. And never mind, remember, man gave the animal their name. Right? That's also very symbolically significant in terms of the anthropocentric focus of the Bria. Right? Clearly, man was intended to be the junior partner and of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the focal point and the telos of creation. Therefore, he identifies the animal. You know, and he also has a license, you know, in terms of malacha. And according to the Ramban, there never was even the same diet, because that's also part of the hierarchy. Yet, there was an Iser of Achilas Basar. And then he goes on to explain, V'hayazeh, this is line 20, B'bnei shebale nefesh atnua, meaning animals who have mobility, Yeshlem k'tzas ma'ala b'nachshon. It doesn't say what the Sefsei Chachamim says, and that is that vis-a-vis food or being food, right, man and animal are identical. They're both created creatures. That's what Sifsei Chachamim in Noach says. I just think it's very extreme. Ramban doesn't say that at all. He says that Bali Nefesh HaTnua had Kitsas Mala B'Nafsha. They had some stature. Okay, Nidmu Ba Bali Nefesh HaMaskeles, which compared with, wasn't equal to, but, you know, approximated in some sense, intelligent human, you know, beings. And then he explains, v'yesh lahem b'chira b'tovasam u'mezoneyem, they have b'chira vis-a-vis the instinct of, you know, their diet, you know, and, you know, in terms of the instinct of survival or what's beneficial for them, v'yivrchu minatzar v'hamisa, again, they have a survival instinct. All of that, says the Ramban, is significant. Right, and that gives them ma'ala. This pasuk in Kohelis is quoted by the Sifsei Chachamim and others who have a much stronger view of the initial parody between man and animal. Ramban quotes it, but he makes it clear that there are clear differences notwithstanding it. Just that, you know, there are some aspects in which this is expressed. But kasher chatu, vihishkis kol basar star kol haaretz, when they were partially, you know, responsible for the destruction of the world, they contributed their own immorality, their own hashkasas basar. Ben nigzar sheyamusa b'mabel. It's fascinating. I mean, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Noach to save the species, basically what the Ramban is saying is don't let that mislead you. They were part of the Gezerah, and as individuals, as we'll see in a moment, at least that's my read, every one of them wasn't supposed to die. Right? Bavur Noach hitzol mehem l'kiyum amin. L'kiyum amin is my, that's what I think, not, you know, individual animals, but representatives, because it's a species thing. It's a conservation thing. Or preservation. Nasan lehem reshus lishchot v'lechol ki kiyumam ba'avuro. Because, you know, it's Noach's intervention and his Mesiras Nefesh, right? So the, you know, and there's no longer individuals, animals. Basically, that changed the balance between them, that allowed them to become, that allowed them to become food. The Imkozeb, this is also fascinating, and very consistent with the Ramban in other places, Lo nitan lahem arishus benefesh. V'asar evar menachai. Ramban says, not the shama, notice, but there's a guf and a nefesh of an animal. The nefesh presumably is like the life force, I would say, of the animal. The life force still belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or that's like still a, you know, a transcendent element, even though it isn't a neshama for sure. And that's why there's an Isser of dam and evar menachai. V'hosif lanu mitzvah lesser called dam. Shehu maimad l'nefesh. K'nechsiv k'nefesh kol basar damo b'nafsho hu. That's in Achrimos. There, in Achrimos, he expands on this, and he has it in a few other places. V'omar l'bnei Yisrael, dam kol basar lo tochelu, k'nefesh kol basar damo hu. K'hitar aguf b'chai, she'ena medaber achra misa. Lo ha'nefesh atzma. V'zet tam ha'shchita. We'll get back to the shchita parts. If you notice, Ramban is... twice here and twice in Noah, promulgates centrally the role of Shechita. It's a little strange because we're talking about Noah, right? Noah didn't have it in the Shechita, right? We're already anticipating, you know, Avram Avinu or even post-Matan Torah, basically. That's fascinating. We'll see. We'll get to it. Clearly, the Ramban thinks that Shechita, the institution, is relevant. The Ramban is basically saying that this Hakdama is valid. Meaning that Shechita is part of the story of the early history of carnivorous diet. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned it. He mentions it twice. V'zet tam ha'shechita, I'll get back to that later. But umash omr tzar balechayim daraisa, v'zu birchaseinu, shemavarech, the bracha on Shechita, sheken tzor tzosav tzibanu ala Shechita. What is all this doing here with Noach? Right, this is all a kind of remnant or relevant to the heter v'achilas pasuk. Oda daber b'inyan mitzvah b'dam b'agisham. That's the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos. Im gomer Hashem alai, which he did, baruch Hashem. Okay. In a Parshas Noach, yeah, I'll take the question first.
Why is there no mention of telling Elohim for Adam?
Say again.
Why does no Ramban?
Why does he need to?
He said,
no, there's no tzelem Elokim for an animal.
No,
never was. For an animal?
No, but I'm saying, the Adam has by far...
Yeah, that's what the Ramban saying. The Ramban is only... The Ramban, again, there's no question in the Ramban. That's why I'm contrasting it with some others. There's no question in the Ramban about the difference between man and animal. What he's saying is, despite the huge gap... Right, animals relative to Domeim and Someach, right, still initially had enough stature that they were excluded from being part of man's diet. That's all he's saying. Because, you know, they have some will, they have some survival instinct, they don't have Tzelem Elokim, they don't have a neshama, but they have a nefesh, they have life force, you know, which is different than vegetables. Right?
Yeah.
So that's all he's saying. But he's never, ever, ktas, you know, and even that, the effect of that kind of gets lost when we're dealing with the species and not the individual, or when the only reason that they are continued to survive, although it's based on Tzibui Hashem, you know, but relative to man at least, is because of man's goodness and his Mesiras Nefesh. Moreover, the carbon component, which is not Nachrayim. So, yeah, there's no Tzelem Elokim, Chalila. Yeah.
So the fact that Noach brings the korban before this whole parsha and Noach, is that sort of saying that Noach was understanding what HaKadosh Baruch was about to do?
Not sure. It's hard to know. It's impossible.
Right, because then it becomes some like sort of Yashar Koach that you knew.
Right, it's hard to know. I hear that.
And it seems like it's the same parallel that one would see maybe in the Gemara in the Midbar, that you have Kiddush, you have the Kiddushas Basar, then feeding into the Chulin Basar,
we're going to get to that.
And then Noah. Right.
That's why the whole Midbar, Basar Taiba B'Midbar, what was permitted, what wasn't, becomes
such
a crucial.
Right, it's the same parallel with Noah. You start with the Kiddusha parallel.
There are so many stages here. Mm-hmm. You know, there is, you know, Bereishis, pre-Bereishis and Gan Eden, then there's post-Gan Eden. Mm-hmm. You know, then there's post-Mabel. You know, then there's the Avos. You know, and then there is you know, Matan Torah. So, and again, there's Midbar, and then there's Eretz Yisrael, and then there's Kiyurcha Kimimcha Makom or Kiyarchid Gavulcha in Eretz Yisrael. So even, you know, there are, I lost count. You know, I can't count that far. Six, seven stages. But there, what I'm suggesting is that in a way, they are related to each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did animals eat other animals before the mammals?
Say that again?
Did animals eat
other animals? That's a good question. It's not. It sounds like not. I mean, from the psukim, it says, "Ul chayas aretz, ul kol ofer shemayim lekorav asher bo nefesh chaya es kol yerek esav la'achla." So it sounds like not. I mean, Rashi holds not.
Their nature changed their
philosophy. Yeah. Seems like it. And again, because maybe, you know, before the Mabel they had a little more mamad, and the whole Nachash story, I guess, implies that too, although he wasn't on the level of man. Maybe he wanted to be, that was part of the story. There's a fascinating Albo, somebody showed me recently, Rabbi Yosef Albo and Sefer Ikarim, says that part of the discussion between Hevel and Kayin was, you know, how to look at animals even then. You know, it's like Kayin said to Hevel, you know, you can't bring an animal as a korban because the animals are just like us. You know, they have equal rights. Like the first total equal right person maybe was Kayin. Not sure that's who you want as your, you know, role model or your paradigm. And then Hevel was saying, you know, you have to be respectful of animals and they're, you know, you have to preserve them because there's a baal tashchis, there's a, you know, you know, a respect maybe even, but that's not the same. Or maybe it's to cultivate the midah of chesed in man, kind of similar to the Ramban in Parshas Ki Teitzeh about Kantzipor, where the Ramban says that the mitzvah of Kantzipor is not for the birds, it's for man. You know, so that's kind of what the Yosef Alba puts in Hevel's mouth against Kain. That's kind of what they're arguing, like it's an old debate. It doesn't get much older, right? So it's fascinating. Well, if you look here at the Ramban and Noach, you'll see again, once again, it's fascinating how he gets into Shechita, but the same basic idea. He says, this is a test, Yisoda Inyan, this is on line 2, Ki be'esa yitzira, in time of creation, Nasa la'adam eskal esav zorea zera, eskal eitz, asher bo priets la'achla, v'nasa l'chaya eskal yerek esav la'achla. Here he doesn't emphasize it, but based on what he already said in Bereishis, which is that against Rashi, animals always had a more limited diet than man. He just has it very matter-of-factly here. He repeats it. The Amar Kasu Vayichen Kihu Tivamu Minagam. That's also fascinating. Vayichen means Kihu Tivamu Minagam. Maybe this more limited diet is because there's a hierarchy in the Bria, and therefore it's in the nature of animal, you know, that their focus would be different. Okay. Now in Noach, when man, notice that it doesn't say anything in Pesukim about Shechita. Noach wasn't doing Shechita, presumably. But, you know, the Ramban's already, you know, chomping at the bit, you know, because he's interested in this from our perspective, you know, as, you know, as a, as a post matan Torah Jew. Which is the Jewish beginnings of right? The husam beteva ubeminug shiu balechayim zela zela akla. Sounds like that began with Noah to answer a question that you asked a minute ago, right? Which we said already. Hutzrach letzavo shiu shar balechayim libnei adam teref lishineim. Okay, v'heim yiru mehem v'lo yitrofu behem. That's part of the barachem v'chitchem, right? Because that whole relationship changed. V'yomer achas dimchem lirmos ki lo yidrosh dam chayim miyad chaverta. But again, you see that the Ramban is integrating Shechita here. That's very fascinating. Contrast to the Ramban, if you look at the Radak, it is Perush Al Torah. This is on page 330. And the Ramban, the Radak says this twice. I just quoted the one in Bereshis because no point. But in Bereshis and in Noach, the Radak basically, I'll read it. Lachem yelachla, line 31. Zan diskarba pasuk. Velohita lahem abasar lechol adachar amabul. Right? Meat eating was permitted only after the mabul. He says, veloyadati lama. Right? Instead of saying, like, I can't understand why they permitted it even then. Or, men, elevated status, man's deteriorated status, the relationship between man and animal, the species focus, the korban, the hatzala, any of those things or more. The Radak just says, I don't get it. Why should there be this difference? And he doesn't go back on it. So what he does say is, ulai, lefishaya golui v'yadu lefanav, ke mabel asud lios, v'noach asid lahatzil imo sharachayim, you can like this explanation or not, but the point is that for the Radak, what the Radak is basically saying is really, really, Adam would have been, should have been, the design was that he would be able to eat meat. But since the Ribbono Shel Olam knew the Mabul was coming, and he wanted to find a way to give Noach a reward. So he held out the, basically it's, for our purposes, again, whether you like the pshat or not, it doesn't matter so much. For our purpose, conceptually, what it means is, right, that achilas basar was part of the original design of creation, and that while technically, it took till post-Mabul to implement it, right, it was always, there's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing that conflicts. Not lakula, not lachumra, not internally the relationship between man and animal. It really belongs conceptually to the very beginning of creation. Right? The opposite, the flip opposite of that, is those who think that, even post-Mabul, right, that chilas basar is only a b'diavad, and that, the initial Bereshis implies that a vegetarian diet is not, either healthier, maybe, but especially what we're really interested in is spiritually more appropriate. Right? The Rabbak is saying never was such a thing, basically. The Rabbag, by the way, in his Perush Al Torah, it's a strange Rabbag, says this, that this says there never was an Isur of Achilas Basar, Adam, at all. Okay? He says, I know Chazal say differently. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, theologically, the Ribbono Shel Olam can't change his mind, and therefore, if there's a heter basar, but no, I find that very strange, because we find all the time that the Ribbono Shel Olam changes his mind, and it is a theological question, but everybody knows this question, and there are very good answers to the question. And he didn't really change his mind in the sense of not knowing what was going to happen, or change his mind in a fundamental way. I mean, it's part of the development of the man, because there is free choice. So man was created in a certain way. I always like to say that initial creation, remains, one with echoes. It continues to rest. It's like, again, I'll give you the other mashal, there are many of them, but, the way man and woman were created, do partzufin, and then they were separated, or whatever it was. Nivra olam, b'midas hadin, and then, that's the famous one. Elokim, Elokim, Elokim. And then, you know, he had to be Meshatef Midas HaRachamim, because I wasn't going. So what, the Rebbe Shlomo didn't know that? I mean, his knowledge was a Kalila. You know, so what does it mean? If he always knew it, why didn't he just create the world? You know, the Midas HaRachamim. The answer is there's some benefit for the world for 1 second, or for hundreds of years, or whatever it is, having been created the Midas HaDin. It establishes a certain, you know, ideal role for Midas HaDin. And therefore, even it was always intended that, you know, that there would, or it was always known that that would have to be moderated, but there's still like a very important Musar Haskel, whatever you want to call it, principle, you know, that is established by creating the world of Midas HaDin. So I don't understand what the Rabag is really, why this to him is such a crisis, you know, that you have to. But anyway. That there are a range of views, and it's a fascinating topic. Okay, let me. There's more than one could say about all this, but all of this is relevant. So let me get you know, to the halachic, I guess, part of it that is a little more concrete. Yeah.
Along these lines, I was troubled recently. The Sforno in Parshas Shmi says, "Azov Sachai Asher Tochelu."
Okay.
If it were not for the Maisa Eagle, the Rebbe Shlomo would never have given us dinei ziva, yoledes, and macholos asuros.
Right.
Only as a reaction to the Maaseh Eagle. How does that jive with Tariq mitzvahs?
With?
Taryag. The number of Taryag. So that was already given on Sinai.
Right.
So the 613 was already ordained, so when the Eagle occurred.
You're asking a question on the Sforno. That's a good question.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Unless you see it as more like, you know, again, he knew that it would, you know, and then
I mean,
Taryag mitzvahs were given because it was clear that Klal Yisrael was going to go in this direction. It's almost like, you know, Il Malei Cheta Egel, we say, you know, there wouldn't have been anything more. The Gemara Nedarim, you know, Chamish Chumshei Torah V'Sefer Yehoshua Bilva. So, bye, but the Gemara says in Brachos, you know, Asher Kasafti Lahorosam, and that'll be, you know, one of the Asher Kasafti is the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Mepharshim asks this question. So isn't it a stira between the Gemara and Brachos and the Gemara Nadar? Some say yes, you know. But probably the answer is that what the Gemara is saying in the Darim is that human history could have been different and there would have been consequences. You know, but it was always known that it wasn't going to be different. You know, and that I think is what you would want to say for the Sforno as well. Okay. Anyways, so this is more in the you know, reading of the Psukim and the Parshanim in terms of this tremendous difference, and what impact does it imply? What does it imply about man's you know, development, Lekula and Lechumra, or both? What does it imply about the relationship between man and animals? What was that originally? What is it? What are the different levels of that? And very specifically, you know, with regard to eating meat, was that something that was a range of views? Meat was always great and, you know, part of the, you know, the picture, or, you know, even now it's only b'di'evet, or it depends on man's, you know, abilities, you know, and his relationship to animals, or maybe his relationship, his control, you know, his rationality, his commitment to spirituality, etc., and all of these various issues. At the same time, what's equally important, especially for the Ramban, is the insertion of Shechita into all these discussions, which historically is not technically accurate. The Ramban knows that too, but almost as if to say, yeah, this is all in the, you know, pathway, you know, to explaining, you know, what it is that Shechita is all about, right? It may be very well that it's about, you know, man's bestiality, physicality, spirituality, etc. And we're going to examine that. Before we get to that, I want to address the question that you raised, because that really also highlights, what do we, you know, is it really true that there was such a change? And what do we mean by that initial change, by that initial status of the change? So then I want to talk about the two Gemaras in Sanhedrin. Was there a question before? At least that introduced that, and we'll continue with that next week. But was there a question, or we're good? Yeah, I thought it was a question.
No, just going back to the point you said that Coach Barber came on stuff of meeting this at the end,
It was an example. Yeah.
But overriding all that is Dibra Torah Belashim Ne'adam.
Right.
That if you don't go back in that direction, how would you go the whole tenor of the Torah?
No, it's a good point. There certainly is Dibra Torah Belashim Ne'adam. And certainly when you read some of the psukim, Vayinachem, Elokim, if you read Divrei Torah B'Lashon Bnei Adam, just so people can understand. Again, this whole idea of, he knew it all, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows for him, Hayahu Ve'Yeh, there's no difference in time. Again, we don't really understand it. We kind of understand it, but, by definition, it's also, as human beings who live in time, we can't really understand it. But the point is that, you can't write the narrative of the Torah that way, because it's very philosophically nuanced. You know what I'm saying? So, Divrei Torah Kelashon Bnei Adam, that you can read, that you need to read the Torah, on a more elemental level, including Hashem changed his mind, Vayinachem, that he was angry, that he says from now on, all of which imply changes, and unforeseen changes at that. That's all Divrei Torah Lashon Bnei Adam. But it doesn't, in the end of the day, if we accept philosophically, that the Ribbono Shel Olam just is a different plane of existence, so we still need to explain these things. That's all I'm saying. So, and that's what bothered the Rabbag. It bothers many of the Mefarshim every time we encounter these things. I'm just trying to provide a Kosef HaShlishi, a way of understanding both of these things. And that is, man was given free choice, whatever that means, despite divine foreknowledge, which is something else that, is a big challenge to understand. Given that he was given free choice, and Ribbono Shel Olam knows what we're going to choose, but it doesn't mean that it isn't free choice, whatever that means. And therefore, the point is, this explains that curve. Why man's development, which partially is of his own choosing, he chose to do, the Klal Yisrael chose the Cheta Egel and the Cheta Meraglim, and that changed, what Tanakh is and what the relationship is between Torah Shebal Tzav and Torah Shebal Peh is. Man's initial vacillation or his not living up to the highest of standards, required, to be Mishtatef, Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin. But we can understand it all. We can say, there's still a benefit to the initial principle. And it sets a certain tone and a certain ideal. It still has to echo in many things, right? Even the way the genders were, all these things. So on the one end, they are written, in the narrative, in a Dibra Torah B'Lashon Bnei Adam fashion. You're 100% right, 100%. And it couldn't not be written that way, because then they wouldn't be accessible at all to anyone other than the most elite philosophically, theologically sensitive, people. And then it wouldn't be Keser Torah, which is Munach Lakol. Right? At the same time, we do need to have an approach, right, to explain, given certain theological and philosophical, realities, what do you mean by that? The beauty of it, in my opinion, is that the narrative, even the Dibra Torah B'Lashon Bnei Adam, is basically fully accurate. It just needs to be explained against the background of some other, theological and philosophical realities. But then it's true. It is Vayinachem Elokim, for what might have been, if man in his free choice had gone in a different way, etc. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what it is. Okay. So the problem that you talked about is really also a problem that is generated by two Gemaras. There are two Gemaras. The first Gemara is on Nun Vav Mem Beis, starts on Nun Vav Mem Aleph in Sanhedrin. Why Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, is the locus classicus. I'm just going to start. That's going to pose the class question. And then we'll pick up with this next week. But is the locus classicus, that's the place where the Gemara deals with Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Right? That's the section in and Daf Nunvav, Nun Zayin, Nun Ches, Nun Tes, those Gemaras. So the Gemara says that there are seven mitzvos, and they were given to Adam. This is what the Gemara originally said, or given to Bnei Noach. And then if we have here line 11 or 12, the Gemara says Minonimili. How do you know that? And Rabbi Yochanan says Damakra. Right? In context of Gan Eden. And we darshan that pasuk. Vaitzav elo adinim. Right? V'cheinu omer ki yidativ l'man asher yitzaves banam. Hashem zubirchas Hashem. V'gadev. V'cheinu omer nokev shem Hashem osimah. Elokim zuavar azara. V'cheinu omer lo yelecha elohim acherim. Al ha'adam zushvichos damim. Right? The Chenu Omer Shofeich Adam HaAdam, etc. Leimor Zugili Arayos. The Chenu Omer Leimor Hein Shalaki Shasishto, Vahocham Yito, Vahisali Yishachem. We call Eitzagan Velo Gazel. And the one that we care about today most, Achol Tochel Velo Ever Minachai. So according to this Gemara, it would appear that Ever Minachai was already given to Adam. Okay? Tosus immediately, if you look at the line 17-18, jumps in and asks the question that you asked before. That is v'hadam rinan lekaman. But there's another Gemara that says d'lohuta la'adam arishon basar la'achila, that Adam was not permitted to eat meat. Right? What's the problem? Well, if he wasn't permitted to eat meat, then what do you need in Yisur Eivar Menachai? Yisur Eivar Menachai is a very specialized Yisur. It's a subset of the much bigger, you know, category of meat eating, of Achilas Basar. But if Achilas Basar is verboten, it's forbidden, then what's the point of Eivar Menachai?
So, question right? On the whole pasuk, it's all the name Noach's mitzvah is from pasuk in Adam.
See, that's so interesting that you asked that. Meaning what? Means the Bnei Noach, this is Adam.
Right.
That's because you are so influenced by that designation. And especially, we all grew up with with the Rambam's perspective, based on the Medrash, also based on the Medrash. And you're totally right. It's completely out of sync with this Gemara, which basically says all Shevetz Bnei Noach, all the Shevetz Bnei Noach were given to Adam. I guess if you still want to call them Shevetz Bnei Noach, you would be saying, and they continued to be true after the Mabul, notwithstanding, some other changes. That's that continuity, is sacrosanct. That's what you have to say. But you're totally right. But as we'll see in a moment, yeah. Where does this really come from? So, this is what Tosus asks. What is this other Gemara? So the other Gemara actually, seems to introduce two different things. Number one, an explicit Isra of Achilas Basar for Adam, which doesn't mention this price at all. Right? And the other one is that Eivar Menachai is addressed to Noach. Okay, so look at the other brisa just for a minute on the next page. Nun Tesavet Beis is the part that I did. Amar Rav Yudah Mara, Adam Arishon Lehuta La Basar Lachila. Okay, that's where the Gemara says explicitly that Adam was prohibited to eat meat. The Siv Lachem Yeh La Achla, but it's not from Achol Yo Tokel, but from Lachem Yeh La Achla Ulekol Chayas Haaretz. Right? That's really the beginning, the end of one pasuk and the beginning of the next. Right? Velo chayas haaretz lachem. That's the diyuk. Interesting. It's not from achol tochel, only this and not basar. Okay. Ukishabo b'nei noach hita lachem, shenema ki yarek esav nasati lachem es kol, yochol ayehe eivar min achai noeg bo. Right? Talmud lomar, ach basar v'nafsho doma lo tochel. Okay. So Tosus' question, which is, why Eivar Menachai to Adam If he's usher to eat all basar, it's a good question. It's really a question which is based on several assumptions. The first assumption that it's based on, which is accepted by most of the Mepharshim, but as we soon, or next week we'll see, but maybe not by the Rambam, is that the two brises and the Gemara agree with each other. Right? There's one brisa says that Eva Menachai was already introduced to Adam. That's Nun Vav Mid Beis. The other Gemara says that Adam Arishon was Asar Bachilas Basar. What I'm going to show you next week, but you know, we don't have time to read it in now, is that in a tshuva of the Rashbash to explain the Rambam, he suggests that the Rambam understood that there were that the machlokas hasugyas, and that really the Gemara Nun Vav Mid Beis doesn't think that Adam was prohibited from eating basar. He was only prohibited from eating Eva Menachai. And that the Gemara on Nun Tesamid Beis, Rav Yudah Marav, that's Rav Yochanan on Nun Vav Beis. On Nun Tesamid Beis, Rav Yudah Marav said Adam was not allowed to eat basar. And that's the Gemara that actually says that a Ben Noach, right, cannot eat Eva Menachai, is based on, only on the Pasuk addressed to Noach. Yeah.
Is that a brisa of Rav?
I don't know.
So that
he
can't be disagreeing. Unless
what?
Unless one of those Rav cases where he's the Tana, which is unlikely, then
I don't know. This is
Rabbi Yochanan
and the Amora.
But I'm saying the Testament base is not a brisa, so
I don't know.
Rabbi Yochanan is also a Amora.
Yeah, that's what he says. So Rashbash. Yeah, that's the reason that he says that. Well, we'll see it inside next time. But I'll just show you the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam, look at the Rambam Perek Tes Halach Aleph, which Adam's question was exactly, because we all kind of grew up on the Rambam's, what do we know about Shevetz Bnei Noach? Whenever you want to look up Shevetz Bnei Noach, you open up the Malachim. You get the Rambam's take on it. Right? The Rambam is such a powerful influence. Where's the Rambam? Page 4 on the top. Just give me one more minute. So the Mitni, or line 2. It says, Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztaba Adam Arishon. Right? Adam Arishon was commanded 6 things. Alavar Azara, Birchas Shem, Shikusam, Gilei Arayis, HaGazel, Dinim. And it says, Ava Vishakul and Hein Kabbalah Biyadenu, Mimosh Rabbeinu, Vat Das Notalahem, Mechlal Devei Torah, Yirashal Eilu Nitztaba. Right? There are also Ramazim in the Psukim. Right? And then it says, Hosif Lenoach, Eber Menachai, Shinemer Ach, Basar, Benafsho, Domolo, Tokelu, Nimsu Sheva Mitzvos. Right, then he goes on, you know, until Avram Avinu came in, where Avram met with Yitzhak, with Yaakov. We're all so familiar with this Rambam, and that's why it's called Shevetz Bnei Noach. Because the Makom Apah, the final one, was the Bnei Noach. But the truth is that the Gemara doesn't say that. Not in Nun Vav Mid Beis. What the Gemara says is that Adam was given 7 mitzvos, right, including Eva Menachai. So the first assumption of Tosis' question is that everybody agrees that Noach was given Eva Menachai, Nun Vav Mid Beis, and that everybody agrees that, I'm sorry, that Adam was given Eva Menachai, and that everybody agrees that Adam was Asar B'Basar, Nun Tes Mid Beis, and that it's all one, or it's a, you know, harmonious sugyas. The Rashbash, which I'll read next time inside, says, the Rambam doesn't think so, he thinks it's a machlokas sugyas. Right? Which means that according to the Rambam, the sugya on Nun Vav Mid Beis thinks that Adam was Mutar B'Basar. So therefore you need to say that it's also Eivar Menachai. Right? The sugya Nun Tesamid Beis says Adam was Asar B'Basar, and therefore Eivar Menachai was only introduced to Noah. Wow. Okay? Not everybody interprets the Rambam that way, but that's the starkest way. But what's a Tosis answer? A very radical answer, unless you're already familiar with it, and it doesn't sound so radical, but what is Tosis' answer? Tosis says, because of this question, that really there was no Isser Vachilas Basar for Adam per se. The Isser was to eat Basar if you killed the animal. If the animal died on its own of old age, or maybe we'll discuss next week, what about the in-between cases, then you can eat it. Even Adam. But let's say the animal's limb fell off on its own. You can't eat that. Tosis is looking for a situation where you have an Isur Eisur Eivor Menachai, you don't have the Nechilas Masa. This is what Tosa says. Hainu lahabis v'lechol hava mesa me'leha shari v'asilafuk Eivor Menachai dafilu nafa me'lav asur. If you put the two prices together and you have a logical question, so the conclusion is that the Isur v'achilas basar was very limited. It was limited to killing the animal. So the Rama, I'm going to have to read this inside because we have to stop, but the Rama says, so what? According to Tosas, is it accurate to say there was an Isur v'achilas basar for Adam? Or was there an Isur l'hamis? You know, v'lo lechol kishahemis? In which case, why don't we emphasize that? Very good question. Is that what Tosas meant? Okay, so the Rama himself, I'll just tell you the other two answers and I'll read them inside and discuss them at length next time, because they're all really important. The Rama says, I don't think the question, is such a terrible question, because it's based on another assumption. Right, Tosas is saying the question is based on the assumption that there really was an Isur of Achilas Basar, the Kol Mikre for Adam, and that isn't true. It was only Asur, L'Hamas V'Lachol. Fine. The Rama says, no, I think another assumption of the question is wrong, and that is that Eivor Menachai and Isur Achilas Basar are on the same level. Like maybe Isur Achilas Basar is a kind of a, well, there's no heter, so there's no heter. But maybe Eivor Menachai was Azaroso Zui Misaso. That was a much more severe penalty. So he was told he wasn't given permission to eat meat. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't allow you something, then Mimela it's prohibited. But that doesn't mean there's a death penalty. Right? It's almost like the equivalent of a mitzvah saseh, or of a lack of heter, says the Rama. But Eivor Menachai, that's a severe prohibition. And the Ran, which we'll read inside next time also, says the opposite. Parallel opposite. The Ran says like this. The Pasuk says, Achol toke. And the miut is what? The Gemara says, but not Eivor Menachai? He said, that's so peculiar. Like you read the Pasuk and you say, you're allowed to eat the vegetables of the garden, but not the Eitz Hadas, and not what? And not something else. Eivor Menachai? That'd be the Mesorah. Maybe that's what they're with the Mesorah of what it meant. But the words don't sound like that, says the Ran. Really, Achol Tochel below Eivor Menachai really means Achol Tochel below Basar. Eivor Menachai is like an acute part of, or maybe they're like the most extreme dimension of the Isur of Achilas Basar. But that's the one that made the cut after Noach, so that's the one that they're already emphasizing in Adam. But when the Gemara says v'lo Eivor Menachai, it means v'lo Basar kolel, hachi kitzoni, let's say, or hachi chamor, right? Eivor Menachai. And then he says, now you understand the pasuk of Noach, which says, you can eat the basar, but you still can't eat the Eivor Menachai. Not you can eat basar, but you can't eat Eivor Menachai. Meaning, Eivor Menachai is a shiur, shinyad vav resh, it's a remnant of the Isur v'achilas basar. That's an important perspective on Eivor Menachai. Okay, so we'll discuss these four views and their implications, then discuss more about Shechita next week.